draft would be about the quarterbacks, but who knew we meant this quarterback? Aaron Rodgers tells the Packers he doesn't want to return. Is there a team on the clock for the NFL MVP? And with the name Trey, we should have known he was going number three. How the 49ers' surprising selection set up the rest of the draft. Plus, once again, the Bears move up to get a franchise QB. Will this be different for Justin Fields? That and more as we get up right now. Could say get up, or as Mike Tannenbaum astutely noted, stay up, because hi, I'm Mel Duncan, he's Kevin DeGondi. We are hopped up on caffeine and pure adrenaline at this point, but thrilled to close out the week on Get Up.
Yeah, plenty of drama before and during the draft to keep us going today as we have another primetime night on ESPN from Cleveland. Here's how we're going to get you ready. We got you covered today with people all over the place here in Bristol, out in Cleveland, in D.C., and key places around the country, including Green Bay and Foxborough, L.
So let's get those round one takeaways, and I'm going to start with Dominique Foxworth. What was your one big takeaway last night?
Well, first of all, I love how this four box looked like the Dora Milaje. It makes me very happy. Okay. And second of all, I would say that it's Trey going to the 49ers. Like, I don't think that any of us thought that it was going to be Mac Jones going there, but they had us believing it. So today I feel sane, I feel seen, and I am so grateful that they took Trey Lance so that I can still pretend like I understand football.
Well, I'm glad they made it about you, Fox. RC, what's your biggest takeaway?
That Ryan Pace was in the war room going like this here because he said, Yodo, I'm only going to draft once because if this don't work, I'm out of here. So Ryan Pace saw a quarterback fall to him with great traits in Justin Fields, and he said, I'm selling the farm because if I don't make this pick, if this doesn't work, I'll be working on Get Up next year with RC.
Two Ryans on Get Up. Who could ask for more? And lastly, your biggest takeaway, Swaggo.
Listen, Bill Belichick felt exactly like I felt. Mac Jones will fall to 15, and it'll be a perfect scenario for him to end up in New England, especially with what they've done this offseason. But the bottom line is, Bill Belichick knew where this draft was going long before anybody else did, and they knew damn well in New England that Mac Jones wasn't going number three overall. They just watched all of us be foolish. Not us, because I was feeling like Bill Belichick, too.
Okay. All right. Were you? I feel like revisionist history. Let's run the tape. But let's talk about something that, listen, we're going to get to in more detail the players that were selected last night. But let's talk about the huge story that came out hours before the draft from Adam Schefter that Aaron Rodgers is so unhappy with the Packers that he's told some within the organization he doesn't want to return to the team. Last night, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst addressed this report. Here's what he had to say.
He's our quarterback. He's our leader. We've been working through this for, a little while now. And, I just think it may take some time, but he's the guy that kind of makes this thing go. So he gives us the best chance to win, and we're going to work towards that end. And I do think he'll play for us again. But no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
Leave it to Aaron Rodgers to hijack the draft. Adam Schefter now. What's the latest here on the Rodgers-Packers situation?
Well, El, just listen to what Brian Gutekunst said there last night. There were a couple of little hints there. We've been working through this for some time. What does that tell you? It's been going on for a while. He also said it may take a while. What does that tell you? It's not solved. The problem is still there. He can say they're not trading Aaron Rodgers, and they don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers, and they don't have any plans to trade Aaron Rodgers, and they haven't gotten a lot of interest from other teams about trading Aaron Rodgers. But the fact of the matter is they have a major issue on their hands that they don't know how to solve, that they've been working on, in the words of the general manager, for some time and may take quite a while. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in quite a while with Aaron Rodgers, and we don't know how his feelings will or won't change. We know that Aaron Rodgers is a pretty determined individual. We know that he likes to play with a chip on his shoulder. We know he still remembers all the teams that bypassed him in the draft 17, 18 years ago, and he remembers that. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is just going to get past this that quickly and move on. And the Packers know they have an issue that isn't going away. They're trying to figure out how to address it. So it's very easy to say they're not going to trade him now. No, they're not going to trade him now. But none of us, including Brian Gutekunst, know where this situation is going in the future.
Okay, but for the sake of fans that maybe know their team needs a quarterback but didn't watch them draft one yesterday in the first round, what is the sense that you're potentially getting that this could be a legitimate thing with Aaron Rodgers deciding to leave?
Well, it's legitimate. I mean, he's told some teammates and he's told some players within the team that he doesn't plan to return. Now, whether he follows up on that, we'll see how the summer unfolds. We'll see whether that changes. But that's what he feels. And it dates back, I think, to the fact that 1 year ago, at the draft a year ago, the Packers traded up for a quarterback. They traded up to draft his replacement. And not only did they trade up to draft his replacement, but they didn't let him know in advance that they were going to be taking a quarterback. Now, if you've got somebody of his stature, usually it's a pretty good idea to call him up and say, hey, we want to give you a heads up. We're going to draft somebody. We still love you. We still think you're good here for a while, but we just couldn't bypass this guy because we like him. They didn't even do that. And I think that Aaron Rodgers obviously remembered that. And you heard a number of cryptic comments from Aaron Rodgers throughout the course of the season, especially after the season, about his life and future in Green Bay being a beautiful mystery. You heard him address all that. Again, none of us know how Aaron Rodgers is going to handle this. What I can tell you is he's not happy being there right now. Definitely, he does not want to be there long term. So you tell me how that's going to work out and we can solve the issue. Right now, I can tell you the Packers don't know how to solve the issue.
Interesting timing, because they did draft Jordan Love a year ago, and he played the whole entire year, and now that seems to be sort of the tipping point. Adam Schefter with the latest. He's sticking around all show. Kevin?
Let's continue the Rodgers watch. It will be a huge storyline this entire offseason. Let's bring in RC, Neek, and Swagoo again. Let's start with you, RC. How do we see this standoff ultimately playing out?
You know, I don't really know how it plays out, but I listen to Brian Gutekunst, and then I hear the reports about Aaron Rodgers and the way he feels, and this feels like one of my favorite parts on Lean On Me. Mr. Clark got arrested, and the dude was sitting outside the jail, and he was like, Mr. Clark is like a father to us, but the girl that he was talking to was like, he ain't like a father to you because you don't take care of your responsibilities. And that's how I feel right now. I feel like that Green Bay don't take care of their responsibilities, and that's what Aaron Rodgers is feeling. You go out last year, and you draft Jordan Love. And here's what it says to me, though, that it happened a year later. Aaron Rodgers knew he didn't play Aaron Rodgers-like football last year. Remember him saying, you know what, it's crazy that a down Aaron Rodgers year is 24 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But he said, now I got the leverage. I'm back to being MVP Aaron Rodgers. And the way that I'm playing and the things that I've done for you throughout my career, you aren't treating me like that. So now he wants out. And Aaron Rodgers is stubborn, and also Aaron Rodgers is extremely intelligent. This was well thought out and well played. I believe he's ready to sit at home.
You know, Nate, we're going pick by pick, especially in the first 10 picks last night. We're waiting. Is there going to be a trade? Is there going to be a trade? There was no trade. Which team needs to trade for Aaron Rodgers right now?
Oh, I feel like we need to put the camera back on the highlighter that is Elle Duncan, because she is a Broncos fan. And I know that is the team that should be trading
better
for Aaron Rodgers, because they must already got a deal in principle ready, because they had two options for quarterbacks sitting on in front of them, and they went and got Patrick Surtain the second. So, L, get excited. Wear that highlighter dress every day until this is done, because Aaron Rodgers, I believe that the Broncos must know something that we don't, because Aaron Rodgers is upset in his situation because we had an understanding. Aaron Rodgers like, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to ball. I'm going to bring home all the bacon. But when I get home, you better have the big piece of chicken ready for me. But then he got home and they tried to split that between him and Jordan Love. So he said, you know what? I'm going somewhere else where I
gave him a flat.
They tried to get that man. They didn't get that man a flat.
They gave him a flat.
They gave him a drummy in a flat. That man deserves the big piece, the whole damn thing, Swagoo.
They gave that man a boneless piece of chicken. Give him a tenner.
No. That's what dry. They gave him. No. The disrespect.
Hey, Swagoo, I want to get your thoughts here. Real quick. I want to get your thoughts specifically on this. All right? And that is, we know Aaron Rodgers, when he, you know, draws the line in the sand, he is no doubt going to stand there on the other side. Were the Packers sending Rodgers a message in drafting a cornerback last night and not a wide receiver in round one?
No, they wasn't sending him a message. Look, Aaron Rodgers don't give a damn what the Green Bay Packers do. I told y'all a year ago he wanted to leave Green Bay. Here's the thing, though. Like, it's funny to me. Everybody talks about how introspective he's been, how much meditating and really like centering himself. Well, why the hell y'all don't think he did all of that before he dropped the bomb in the middle of the draft? That was the introspection. That was the stuff that he thought about. He knew exactly. I agree with RC and Dom. He knew exactly what he was doing. The timing was not coincidental. It's when teams are making the most moves, trying to figure out how to set their teams up the right way. Aaron Rodgers in the middle, like in the middle. Everybody hype about the draft. We all trying to figure out where the hell Mac Jones going. And Aaron Rodgers say, oh, y'all forgot this league's still about me. It's about me. It's about Tom Brady. And it's about Patrick Mahomes. To hell with all y'all notes on the draft. Don't worry about who gets taken. The draft is about to focus on what team is trying to get me. Just like Dom is sitting up here right now, Foxy, saying the Denver Broncos must have a plan. I agree. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers wanted somebody to say, I don't want none of these young, dumb quarterbacks that's coming out that need time to develop. They gonna come get me. And I believe just with Foxy, it's gonna be the Denver Broncos.
Look at that. Aaron
Rodgers don't care that we prepared 2 months to get ready for this draft. All he cares about is getting the hell out of Green Bay.
I got one question, though. I got a question for you, Ngandi. I need to know how to pronounce Gutekunst's name, because we've been on this on air for 10 minutes, and I heard it pronounced
three different ways.
You
just nailed it.
Somebody clear this up?
You just nailed it. It's Gutekunst. Yeah, it's like the cheese, right? Gutekunst.
We're just going Goody from here on out. The man's name is Goody, so none of y'all mess it up no more.
Appreciate, Dom, you setting up my co-anchor here, because I've got to work with her for the rest of the offseason, and if the Broncos don't land Aaron Rodgers, there will be some long sports centers at 6 p.m.
Forget the highlighter dress. If the Broncos can get Aaron Rodgers, I will wear cheese slices for the next year. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Cut the deal. Make the deal. Cut the check.
Let's go. Let's go.
What do you want me to do?
Now I want the trade to happen. I want to see all the cheese.
Take a kidney. Take them all.
Mac Jones was labeled as having Tom Brady traits during the evaluation process. So, of course, he falls into place for the Patriots last night. Can Mac meet the expectations in New England? And we'll get back to the future of Aaron Rodgers. Is there a better place than Green Bay for the NFL's MVP? I think L has the answer. You need to hear what one of our other analysts thinks. We'll get into that and much more. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Kevin Ngandi, L. Duncan, back with you on Get Up. Quarterback storylines dominating round one. It was supposed to be about the quarterbacks. We knew it would be. And, of course, it started with Trevor Lawrence going number one overall to the Jags. Zach Wilson out of BYU went second to the Jets. But then we had some intrigue. The Niners picked third, and they were linked to Mac Jones early in the draft process and for a brief moment called Green Bay about Aaron Rodgers' availability, but they kept the pick. Made it on North Dakota State's Trey Lance. Chicago traded up in the 2017 NFL draft to take Mitch Trubisky. That didn't work out, but it didn't deter them from doing the same thing. They jumped from 20 to 11 to take Ohio State's Justin Fields. And entering the draft, many of our mocks had the Patriots having to trade up to nab a QB. They don't have to. They stay put, and they're able to get Mac Jones at 15. So who is your starting quarterback, Bill Belichick, at this point?
Cam's our quarterback, whatever position, whatever time. Jared or Mac, you know, ready to challenge and compete, then we'll see how that goes.
You said that Cam's our quarterback. What exactly does that mean?
It's just what I said.
Just that, I mean, if when you start practice, he'll be the first guy back there, that he's the starter. How long does that last for?
I don't know. Somebody would have to play better than he does.
Oh, Bill, you just said something absolutely mind-blowing as we read between the lines on that pick. What was that?
Cam is Max spelled backwards.
Ooh-wee. That doesn't mean anything. Mike Tannenbaum, Dan Grazio,
joining
us now. You've sauna'd with Bill Belichick? What was that like? I'm kidding. That's not what we want to know. We want to know how you grade this pick, Patriots taking Mac Jones, without even having to trade up to get him.
Yeah, Elle, we talked about this all night last night. It was an outstanding piece of work by Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, and here's why. You have two teams behind you in Washington and Pittsburgh that also need a quarterback. And if I'm them, I'm thinking about giving up a third, maybe a fourth round pick, even if I have to go up one spot to Minnesota to make sure that I get Mac Jones. The fact that they could get Mac Jones, who was in the debate to be a top five pick, at 15 and give up no draft capital is remarkable, and I admire his patience, and it worked out. It could not have worked out better for the Patriots.
What do you make of the pick?
I think to play off Mike's point, I mean, too often we assess these picks based on, did the evaluation work out right? I mean, but most of the evaluations aren't going to work out. History tells us that not only, so the best teams at drafting are the ones that stay disciplined, that assign a value to these guys and stick with it. And Belichick's entire, as you know, and as you know, painfully learned over the years. I mean, Belichick's whole thing is about value, right? He's not going to pay more than he has to for anything. The free agency spree was all about finding guys on deals that would have been bargains in other years, but weren't this year because the salary cap went down. So here's a guy. He was willing to let somebody go up and take Mac Jones in front of him. He thought, if I get him at 15, great. If not, I have another plan I can go with. So I think it's typical Belichick what we saw last night.
Yeah, it worked out. And maybe we should have read the tea leaves, because the only pro day that Bill Belichick himself actually attended was Mac Jones. Let's keep the conversation going about Mac Jones, a prototypical New England Patriot, Kevin.
Elle, thank you. Let's bring back Swagoo, Neek, as well as RC. And you know what? Let's give you another chance to shine here, Swagoo. You're the only person in the room on this show in your mock that had Mac Jones at 15. When that happened, that was playing out, and he fell in the Patriots' lap. What was your reaction?
I mean, my reaction was like my reaction is all the time. You was right, bro. Like, it ain't, I mean, you know, RC
so that's
is my
all
big
the
brother.
Time,
Fox
Marcus.
Is my,
every time.
My big little bro. But at the end of the day, like, I knew I was going to be right. RC tried to fight me on it, but I knew I was going to be right. Because when we look at all of the situations that we've been through all of these drafts that we've watched, like I told y'all a couple weeks ago, it ain't no way in hell Mac Jones, the third overall pick in the NFL draft. In no year, okay? And this year was no different than any other year. So him landing 15 with the Patriots was the dream scenario, especially with the move that they made this offseason to put him right back in the same similar situation that he was in at Alabama. No, that doesn't mean it's going to translate to him doing the things he did at Alabama, but he damn sure set up well offensively with what they did and the philosophy that they have in New England.
But, it ain't the same
right,
situation.
Kevin, it was no surprise.
It ain't the same situation, because his receivers at Alabama are better than the receivers that he is going to play with. And that's not hyperbole. That's not a joke. I'm not playing no games. That is a fact.
It's
he had two first-round receivers at Alabama. So the situation in New England is not as good as the situation that he just left. But I do think that he's going to take over for Cam Newton, no matter what Bill Belichick says. Like, he should. We were talking about him as saying he was, like, the guy who was most pro-ready, the guy who could step in and start right away. Like, that was the argument that people were trying to convince us for why he was going to go number three. And, like, let's be frank. I was high on Cam Newton before the start of last year, but Cam Newton was bad last year. So Mac Jones absolutely should be the starter on this team.
Dom, then to your point, when do you expect, and then we'll have RC jump in, when do you expect this quarterback situation to play out in the season where Mac Jones replaces Cam Newton as the starter?
Well, I think it's entirely up to Cam Newton, because it feels like Cam Newton is going to get his spot. And if he's able to bounce back, and maybe he needed a year, another year to fully recover from the injuries or to fully recover from contracting the COVID virus, like maybe all that stuff or the separation from the team slowed him down. But it is completely up to Cam Newton. If they start out hot like they did last year and he stays hot, I think Mac stays on the bench. Mac Jones doesn't have the skill level to, I think, walk into camp and just wow people. And even if Cam is playing well, they're going to be like, hey, we got to sit Cam down because Mac Jones is just so nasty. So I think it's entirely up to how well Cam Newton plays early in the season.
RC, what do you want to see? What do you need to see?
I don't need to see much from Mac Jones. I think the reason you draft Mac Jones is because you know what you're going to get, right? We keep talking about the way that he processes, and he does process. But if we're going to put that as the reason that Mac Jones is on the field, he better be year 10 Peyton Manning right now. And even though Dom says Cam Newton didn't play well last year, which I agree with, think about this. They were 7-9, and they were a bad call on a Cam Newton run in Seattle away from winning that game, and they were also a Cam Newton fumble away from either tying or going up on the Buffalo Bills that puts you at 9-7 with two good wins. And so you've added other pieces to this team where Cam Newton could very well have this team on the road. We know that Mac Jones doesn't have the measurables, right? He doesn't have the talent. He doesn't have the it type of stuff. So they're going to have to see something from Cam Newton that allows Mac Jones to play. Because I just don't think you sit at practice and you're going to watch him throw a ball to Nelson Aguilar in practice and go, that is it. We have to put him on the field. He's the dude. It's going to depend on Cam Newton and the way that he performs next year.
All right, Swaggoo, what are your expectations for Mac?
To play right away, as soon as they realize that he's going to operate this offense and not be anything prolific, just be a distributor of the football. Listen, man, I was calling Cam Newton Cam damn Newton all year long. The Patriots did not draft Mac Jones 15th overall to see if he could play quarterback. They already have an idea about what they're going to do with this dude offensively, and that's why we all thought.
Marcus.
Yes, you too, RC. That's why we all thought
Marcus
New England
Spears
was a great landing spot for Mac
he
Jones. Mac Jones will be starting for New England at some point this season.
Marcus Rashawn Spears. Mac Jones ran to the stage last night faster than Tom Brady ran his 40. Okay. And you know why? Because he knew he had fleeced the entire world. He knows he's supposed to be there. He won't be the starter day one.
We've got more of this, of course, coming up in the next hour. Coming up later on after the break. Once again, Chicago moved up to get their franchise quarterback. Why the Bears had to go all in on Justin Fields. This is Get Up on ESPN. And let's also get Graziano ready to go. Sneaky Hembo time, and the battle continues. Who's the only quarterback in NFL history to change teams after making three consecutive Pro Bowls?
Pro Bowls?
Pro Bowls, right. Why?
He always goes to Pro Bowl.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, the confidence is low here. Back to Sneaky Hembo time. Who is the only quarterback in NFL history to change teams after making three consecutive Pro Bowls?
He always goes to Pro Bowl when he needs a win because he knows I don't know anything about the Pro Bowl. Everybody makes the Pro Bowl, right? So I'm going to guess Tom Brady.
All right. The answer is Warren Moon, who made six straight before being traded from the Oilers to the Vikings in 1994. By the way, Hembo does not appreciate the tone that you have, though he got one on the board to make it 21-17.
Hurt feelings all over the place today.
Yeah, again, that is his secret weapon. Bring up the Pro Bowl, and that is your kryptonite.
Pro Bowl.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, study.
Let's go to the big story surrounding the NFL draft leading in. There was no reason to believe anything was wrong in Green Bay until the 2019 NFC Championship game. While they were 13-3 that year, the Packers got crushed by the Niners and lost in the conference championship round for the third time in 6 years. Fast forward to the 2020 draft, and while many were expecting an offensive playmaker with their first-round pick, the team instead traded up from 30-26 to grab quarterback Jordan Love. With Rodgers' future officially murky, he came out in 2020 and had a banner year. 48 touchdowns, just 5 picks en route to his third career MVP award. But the team lost again in the NFC Championship, and now the latest report, according to Adam Schefter, is that Rodgers' relationship with the team is at the point that he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. We've got Dan Graziano joining us here with much more, and we're going to have David Pollack in a moment. Do we want to go to David Pollack right now, or do we want to get Graz's thoughts here?
Is he supposed to be here?
Somebody's eventually coming. Hey, we're anticipating Bart Scott in the middle, all right?
Oh, okay.
But let's start with you. Now that Rodgers wants out, it is very curious, though, that the Packers last night don't go wide receiver. That was a huge storyline a year ago, and they go cornerback with Eric Stokes. What's next here for Green Bay?
Well, look, I mean, Adam Schefter mentioned it earlier. I don't think anybody would be surprised at this point if they end up trading Aaron Rodgers. But equally, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers dug in either, right? I mean, this is the Green Bay Packers. This is a franchise that is very much of the mind, like, look, we were here before you. We'll be here after you. We've had plenty of success. And I could see them digging in and sticking to their guns in terms of, we won't trade him. But fundamentally, I think we have a situation here where it's about hurt feelings and it's about a personal issue, right? And that's why I don't think it can be fixed with a contract or a contract extension, because it seems like he's not going to be happy no matter what. I mean, where could he go that's a better situation than a team that just won 13 games each of the last 2 years, been to the NFC Championship game, had the best offensive line in the league, has the best wide receiver in the league, 3 deep at running back. I don't know why he's so upset. He's been on the Green Bay Packers for 16 years. He knows how they operate. He shouldn't be surprised they took a quarterback last year. He shouldn't be surprised that they didn't take a receiver last night. The Packers operate a certain way. He knows this. If he doesn't like it, he didn't have to sign 2 contract extensions.
I feel like our relationship at the beginning of this segment started out where I was Aaron Rodgers and you were the Packers, and now I've moved closer to you.
Yeah.
We were just a far apart.
But I think
apart.
If this were reality, you'd be moving to a different studio.
And right now, we're not. Even though David Pollack maybe is playing the role of Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe.
Because he's not even near us as we go to him. Was this this relationship between Rodgers and the Packers management, was it avoidable here, Pollack?
Kevin, every relationship with a quarterback in their franchise is like a marriage. And in a marriage, you got to communicate. In a marriage, you got to get along. And you could start to see that there's a little flirting going on with Green Bay. And then all of a sudden, you move the mistress in the basement. What do you think's going to happen? Like, this was bound to happen. Now the paperwork has been filed for divorce, and now it's just about accepting it at some point. So it's interesting that you haven't surrounded Aaron Rodgers, with weapons at this point. You haven't maximized his career throughout this point. He's been one of the most talented guys that we've ever seen at the quarterback position and been so good for so long. And then last night, I think you draft a cornerback late in the first round and you're just like, really? Like, okay, fine. Yeah. So I think we knew this was coming. It was just a matter at some point. So it's unfortunate because Aaron Rodgers has been there for so long and so good.
What I enjoy the most about this program is in between all the jokes and the cracks are these cutaways of Graziano whenever somebody else talks and he has a disagreement. What do you want to say about
I don't want to jump on David here because, like, as opposed to all the other Aaron Rodgers enablers that we had on earlier in the show, I mean, like, this guy, they have built a great team around him. They have kept the team excellent. Yeah, you, I'm talking to you. You know I am.
Finish talking.
Anybody talks about is the same stuff. Well, they haven't maximized Aaron Rodgers. Well, they haven't given him enough help. The best offensive line in the league, pass blocking and run blocking last year. Devontae Adams. I don't care if they're not taking wide receivers in the first round. If you can get Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in the second round, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't like it, they're fine. He can have his hurt feelings. He can go host Jeopardy. I don't think it's going to bother anybody. But the fact of the matter is the Packers have not done wrong by Aaron Rodgers, period. And the groupthink that continues to insist that they have, it's just too much.
But Dan,
go ahead. Yeah, I'm fine with you saying they haven't done wrong by Aaron Rodgers. But my issue with you is suggesting that somehow Aaron Rodgers saying he doesn't want to come back is somehow him doing wrong by them. These are people. They aren't robots. No, no, this isn't fantasy football. You can't draft a guy in my position when I come off an MVP caliber season and expect me to just show up. I think David Pollack made this as a marriage analogy early on. You are absolutely right. There's a different relationship between a franchise quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame in his organization. You can't bring somebody in to live in my basement and think I'm just going to be okay still sleeping in the same bed. No, that's fine. He came out and he played well for them. He gave them all he had last year. That's fine. He don't owe them nothing. So if you're fine with them drafting a quarterback, you also got to be fine with him saying, you know what? I ain't down with this no more.
I'm not saying he owes them anything. I'm saying they don't owe him anything. And I think that's the part where we go off the rails a little bit here, because the Packers, they fired the coach he didn't like. Mm. They brought in a coach that has absolutely maximized his talents to an entirely new level. And they've built this roster that was one of the very best in the league for the last couple of years. I don't know what else the guy's supposed to want.
Now, if people bring up Tom Brady too, because Tom Brady had enough and said, I'm going to leave. But the difference is he was a free agent. He had the ability to walk away here. So Pollack, in your mind, because when you look at Rodgers' contract, is this relationship fixable while you still have somebody living in the basement?
The marriage.
Well, Dan, no, it's not. Dan, when you look at Jordan Love, though, like they traded up and gave capital up for him. This roster, I think, is built the offensive line. You're talking about the weapons. It works because of 12. It's not because they've drafted so great. It's because he makes them look really, really good. He would make a lot of rosters look really, really good. The other coach wasn't going so hot, by the way. It's not like he got him fired because he was performing at a high level. He was when they won a Super Bowl, but then it cooled off significantly. So I think if you took Aaron Rodgers off this roster, I'm not sure you'd be saying, oh, this is such a well-constructed roster. It's a good roster, but Aaron Rodgers is the reason it's going to the NFC Championship.
And this is a topic that's not going anywhere. This is going to be here all offseason as long as he stays there and, of course, drawing that line in the sand. Let's go to Elle and talk about what we saw last night with other draft picks.
Yeah, we're going to get some draft analysis via the emoji. How millennial of us? So I'm going to give you a draft pick, and you give me an emoji based on how you feel about it. I'll start with you, Swagoo. Jamar Chase to the Bengals.
Hard eyes, L, because I saw this happen at LSU. And listen, for as much as I thought the Cincinnati Bengals should have got some protection for Joe Burrow, you look at this offensive line with the Bengals, they okay. To get this connection back, though, to get these guys back in business, the Biletnikoff and the Heisman Trophy winner, and the way they did all of the DBs when they faced them, hard eyes. I love it, LSU.
How about the reigning Heisman winner, Devontae Smith, headed to Philadelphia? Pollack, how you feel?
I'm shocked for a couple reasons. First of all, the Cowboys got 10, right? They're at 10. They trade with the Eagles so the Eagles can get ahead of the Giants. Like, how often do you see the NFC East work together? Probably a lot of people's best receiver in the draft slips all the way down. The Eagles obviously get to go up and grab them, but the NFC East working together to?
What? Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Maybe they know the competition's just lacking, so they're like, it doesn't matter. And how about you, Fox, Justin Fields to the Bears? What's your emoji?
Oh, furious, because that's what he looked like when that draft pick came in. I'm sure he's comfortable with going to the Bears, but he was hot that he was sliding down the draft board. He didn't even look happy in his ripped up jeans and no sport coat. But I think that the Bears are going to be very happy, but the situation that he's going into is not a great one.
Absolutely. You're talking about emojis, and I would like to assume that when people in Chicago found out that they were signing Andy Dalton, the emoji was the puke emoji. So at least they fixed that. Speaking of the Bears, their GM Ryan Pace, pushing all his chips in the middle of the table, says this about Justin Fields' slide and their decision to trade up to get him.
We feel really fortunate to be able to get Justin, you know, in the area of the draft we were able to select him. The excitement throughout our whole building, you can feel it. Andy is our starter. And we're going to have a really good plan in place to develop Justin.
All right, I'm going to start with you, Pollack. Your reaction to Justin Fields falling. We know we talked about it yesterday on this show, Pollack, and me and you have talked as two dogs. We have talked about this for years. Some of the criticism of Fields was, how could he not even beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia in terms of why people felt like he was falling? What do you make of this move by the Bears?
Yeah, we had to cry a lot about Justin Fields leaving Georgia. listen, I think that when you look at this situation, we talked about it all leading up to the draft, and situations and fits make a big difference. I feel bad for Justin Fields. Like, this situation, this is where quarterbacks have gone to die. Like, you look at Chicago, there hasn't been a lot of success. And the bad thing is, L, you show that clip of Pace, and you show him saying, this is our quarterback. I can rewind to several drafts ago, and I got the same thing about Mitchell Trubisky and him being our guy. So this isn't an easy situation for Justin Fields to go into. I definitely don't think this is a situation where he comes in and he's going to light it up and prove everybody wrong that he slid down and he was the fourth quarterback taken. It's going to be a tough, tough, tough job for Justin Fields to go to Chicago and win.
A lot of people saying that watching Justin Fields sort of reminded them of watching Lamar Jackson, right? As he was slipping, the anger on his face and the Ravens move up to take him. Potentially, Justin Fields can feel good about the fact that the Bears did give up quite a lot to get him. With that being said, I mentioned it, Swagoo. It's as if Ryan Pace was like, I know that me and Nagy's job is on the line, frankly. Do you think that Justin Fields is enough to save them?
Yeah, I think he enough, but it doesn't change anything about what I thought about Justin Fields pre to him being selected 11th in the draft. I thought he was the second best quarterback in the draft to Trevor Lawrence. So I believe Justin Fields, look, this is about Pace and Nagy, and this is about Nagy more than anything. Is he going to not only develop what Justin Fields does well, are you going to tailor this offense to what he does well? That's the key. Like, it's funny you bring up Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson, for all intents and purposes, people thought was supposed to be a wide receiver. And the Baltimore Ravens said, nah, we're going to highlight your skill set. That's Matt Nagy's job. He doesn't have any other job outside of making sure you highlight what Justin Fields does well. And before everybody goes crazy, and Chicago is not ideal because we're thinking about Chicago in the terms of Mitchell Trubisky and all of the things we've seen with that franchise and organization, Justin Fields can absolutely be the catalyst as long as his coaches make sure that they highlight the things that he does well. He's actually surrounded by some pretty good offensive players on that team. So just put the man in a great situation. Give him time if he needs to develop. But do that at a high level, Matt Nagy, and you'll have a quarterback in Chicago for years.
I mean, listen, the Bears are a playoff team. They were last year anyway. And very quickly, RC, I know you thought he'd go 8-9. Why do you think he fell all the way?
You know what? I'm not really sure why he fell. Everybody does their evaluation. Apparently, the Denver Broncos have Aaron Rodgers signed on the dotted line right now, and they didn't need him. And, you know, I kind of texted with Joe Brady last night, and he knew coming into the draft that they needed a cornerback. And so when you look at Justin Fields and his position, here's the one thing I like about it. Ryan Pace is not playing that whole game. Oh, if Justin comes along, he can start over Andy Dalton maybe, and maybe later on when it's time. No, Ryan Pace is acting like you're supposed to act when you finally get a date with the woman that is out of your league. When you finally get a chance with somebody that you know you shouldn't have a chance with, he is excited. Mm-hmm. He's going to show up early. He's going to pull out all the stops. He's going to make sure it works. And here's the thing. Nobody thought that Houston was a place that quarterbacks could thrive. Quarterbacks also went there to die. Deshaun Watson has excelled. Justin Fields can have that same type of effect there, and I actually hope he does.
Okay, but let me just tell you, as a woman, nobody likes it. You don't want to be thirsty. I don't care. You need to be into it, but also not too thirsty, because that makes you feel some type of way, and that's not attractive either. All right, much more of this coming up. Weeks of speculation. We all just knew that the Niners were going to take Mac Jones. Nope, they go Trey Lance. Is he the biggest steal or biggest stretch? You're watching Get Up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching Get Up. Trey Lance is now a San Francisco 49er. It looked like it was trending Mac Jones for the last few weeks, and then over the last couple of days, we found out maybe it is going to be Trey Lance. Maybe they are enamored with the quarterback out of North Dakota State. I want to get some response here and just some reaction. I'm going to start with you, Mike Tannenbaum. How do you grade the Niners taking Trey Lance at 3?
Oh, I like it long term. I would give it a B+. But here's what's remarkable to me is a decade ago, I get criticized for trading up for Mark Sanchez, who started 13 games. As the graphic showed, Trey Lance has thrown 318 passes at the FCS level and played in one game this year. They gave up 2 first-round picks and a 3rd. Now, the fact that they have Jimmy Garoppolo, I love that, because you can make an argument that potentially Trey Lance would have been the first pick in the 2022 draft. He does need to sit. It's a big leap going from his level competition to the NFL, Bart. But I'll tell you what, long-term, it's great. Short-term, it is a very big risk.
Well, I think they got Josh Allen. It was a calculated risk, right? You understand that he's going to a roster that can protect him, that can run the ball, play action, and he can do those boots, waggles, and throwbacks that slows down pass rushers. And you can keep it really simple for him. And when everything breaks down, he can use his legs to make those off-schedule plays that all the good young quarterbacks do.
I want to bring in David Pollack here to ask him because, again, like it was trending towards Mac Jones. People felt like they kept giving him the comparable to Matt Ryan, who, of course, had great success with Kyle Shanahan. But now it's Trey Lance instead. How do you think he fits or projects in this Shanahan offense?
Perfect. I mean, it's a perfect fit. It's the guy that if you asked me to pick one guy that had that could come in and have the most success with San Francisco, why do I say that? I mean, think about what Trey Lance did. First of all, he's enormous, 6'4", 225 pounds, freak of an athlete. Go spend 5 minutes with the kid, and you'll buy every stock you got you can find in Trey Lance. I mean, he's got everything. He's got the it factor. He's got the wow factor. He can throw. He can spin the ball. He can run. He can do everything. If you watch his North Dakota State film, they had a fullback a lot of times. He played under center. He played in the shotgun. Kyle Shanahan's going to ask him to do a lot of the same things he did in college. So I don't know how it gets any better. I know Mac Jones immediately might come in and make better reads and make better decisions. But long-term, Trey Lance has a chance to be an absolute superstar. I think San Francisco made the right decision.
We were together, Bart, when they drafted Trey Lance. And the first thing you said was, Jimmy Garoppolo's not going anywhere. How would you use him in the quarterback room?
Well, you use him much like Kansas City used Alex Smith. You teach him to teach him how to prepare, help him understand the defenses within the division. You bring him along slowly, and then, you know, listen, you can never – the only thing is you can't count on Jimmy G as far as, you know, him being able to be healthy the entire year. So, you know, you have to really bring Trey Lance along maybe a little faster than expected because you may have to use him later in the season.
And I think going back to what David said, here's what else is really exciting on the 49ers. You get him outside the pocket. Yesterday, I compared him to Ben Roethlisberger. He is a young, athletic Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to make a lot of plays with his feet, yeah, and he has a great arm as well.
He does, but untested because they were a very run-heavy offense, right, in North Dakota State. And you mentioned that he hasn't thrown a ton of them. David, you're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
Ben Roethlisberger, man, this dude's way more athletic than Ben Roethlisberger. I know Ben Roethlisberger
Josh
and Mike
Allen.
T could extend and make plays. This dude, yeah, this dude's freaky. I mean, he can make people miss. Ben ain't making nobody miss. Ben would run through you. Trust me, he ran through me with the Bengals. I tried to bring him down unsuccessfully a lot of times. But, I mean, this guy has some special gifts running the football. And, again, when you're a young quarterback, the good thing is as a coach, you can lean on that. That's going to work. You get him outside of the pocket on some of those boots off the jet sweeps and some of that stuff, he'll be dynamic in the open field. Ben was a good extender, but Ben couldn't do that.
I'm sorry.
All right.
He's Josh Allen. I think he's Josh Allen. He can make you miss. You know, and he puts you as
Ryan
a defender.
Tannehill.
Yeah, he puts you as a defender. He puts you in a tough pickle, right? Because you don't understand if you step up, he throws the ball over your head, and then you want to get embarrassed in space by a guy that's bigger than you as a linebacker, but also can change your angle because of his speed.
And the other part about his game that I like, similar to Zach Wilson, his downfield accuracy was outstanding. Big chunk plays. They have some real explosive weapons like Brandon Ayuk. Again, I think it's a really good fit long term. Sitting behind Jimmy Garoppolo is really the best thing that could happen to him.
Doesn't make mental mistakes, right, which is something that's always a learning curve for rookie quarterbacks. We'll certainly see if he takes to the field. It stands to reason history tells us he is going to get some starts this year under center. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to return to Green Bay, but the Packers say they aren't trading the MVP. So who blinks first? It's the standoff that we all wanted and didn't see coming, maybe. Adam Schefter has the latest.